Last week I shared with you about a tandem bicycle ride. Some of you in some countries in Asia or perhaps Africa or the islands of the sea do not know what a tandem bicycle is. It is a bicycle for two where one person sits in front of the other and the one in front has a steering wheel. He controls the direction and he's the one who knows where he's going. The one behind has his view obstructed. And he has a set of stationary handlebars which cannot be moved left nor right. So he does not have any control on the direction of the travel. Whenever we come to Christ, he wants us to get on the back seat of the tandem bicycle. And he wants to take the front seat. And he will direct, he will decide the direction of the ride. He sees what's ahead. We do not see what's ahead. And this is the way the Christian life is. And sometimes a ride on this tandem bicycle is very smooth and easy. Sometimes it's a wild ride and you're holding on for dear life. Sometimes you get into neck-breaking speeds and sometimes you're just coasting along. So Jesus will never get on the back of this bicycle. He'll never let you control it. If you want to control it, he'll just get off. And you are riding that bicycle by yourself. Many Christians live under the illusion that they can make their own choices and direct their own paths and follow their own ideas and keep Jesus on the back of a tandem bike. My friend, they're living in a world of wild dreams and great imaginations. Jesus will never take the back seat on anyone's tandem bicycle. He's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. So the Lord called me to quit my job with the government to go to seminary. And that took me through a flour mill, loading up boxcars in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And it took me through the dust of a warehouse sweeping floors at minimum wage. It took me through an experience as a semi-truck driver. And then it led me to Asbury Theological Seminary, where I was trained to be a minister. After 2.5 years, I accumulated 144 credit hours and I received my degree. Then I took my first church in Canada. And after 2.5 years of preaching there, some of the congregation got so upset about my preaching that they called for a business meeting and I was voted out. One of the dear men was so upset with me that he said, unless Pastor Schulze moves out of the parsonage in 10 days, we will call the sheriff. That was my first experience in the pastoral ministry. Yes, I was on a tandem bicycle and this was my first rough ride as a pastor. My second pastorate was in the state of Montana, and I went to a church that had about half the membership of my first church. I stayed there about 3 years, and then my third church was in the state of Nebraska, and I went to an even smaller church than the previous one. The church was about half the size of that. Something very unusual happened to me. That is, that every time that I made a pastoral move, God took me to a much smaller church. That is indeed interesting to me. Most all pastors I ever met always go to a bigger and bigger and bigger church. This is not the way it's been with me. God has taken me down and down and down in all these years. And when I was done in Nebraska in my third pastorate, God then called me to a yet smaller church, which had not even been organized. And this church consisted, or fellowship consisted, of just 2 men and 4 women and 2 or 3 children. That, yes, was my fourth pastorate. Like I said, in every one of these moves, it had been the Lord's doing. I always said, Jesus, tell me where you want me to go next. And then he told me by God's grace. And he helped me in all of these different places to find a few precious hearts. I have people in my church now that came out of my second and third pastorate. And we found our first son-in-law in our third pastorate. Now, while I was in this third pastorate in the state of Nebraska, the Lord told me that he wanted me to stop visiting people because he wanted to visit with me, himself. He impressed it upon me that I was one of the biggest problems, if not the biggest problem, in the church. That although I had received a theological education, I had not been dully or duly, properly educated by Jesus. He told me that the education I had from seminary to be a minister was man's way of educating a man and preparing him for the work of the Lord. But God said, I want my time with you now. I want to work with you because I want to do something in your heart, something that the seminary has not done for you. He impressed upon me that although by having gone to seminary, I knew my theology, I knew my church history, I knew counseling, I knew about pastoral care, I knew about New Testament Greek and a few other things, I did not really know how to walk with God and how to hear His voice and to follow Him. Oh, I knew a little about it, but not enough to really lead a worship service and to please the Lord. What happened in my third pastorate is that one time I attended a religious meeting which was held in the city of Indianapolis, Indiana. And in this meeting of about 500 or so people, I met a man who walked with God like nobody I've ever met in my life experience. And this man of God came in, and I observed him for the first time, and he all of a sudden stopped at about the fourth row from the front. And as he prayed, the Lord told him there was somebody in this row about the fifth seat to the right who needed his attention. He said, there's somebody here that needs to be loved. And so that person was a little girl, about 10 years old, and she had prayed about a few hours ago. She had prayed with her mother in her hotel room. She said, Jesus, would you please have the servant of God stop by and love me today? And so the Lord told the servant about this prayer, and he went and loved her in the spirit of Jesus. I don't know whether this little girl had a father or not, but she needed a man of God to love her and to pray for her that day. Now, then this gentleman went to the front, and he sat down, and he said, now, the Lord's telling me that we are to start the meeting with a hymn. And he said, we have two hymn books. There's a black hymn book, and there's a red one. Jesus tells me our hymn is in the red hymn book. And then he prayed, Lord, is this hymn in the hundreds, 200s, 300s? And then he'd say something like this, it's in the 300s. Isn't that wonderful? Is it in the 310s, the 320s, or 30s? And he said, the Lord just tells me the hymn is in the 330s. And then he would pray right down to something like 332 in the hymn book. That's the hymn Jesus wants us to sing. He didn't know what the hymn was. He just went by the voice of Jesus. Well, I had never seen anything like this before. All I was taught in seminary is to start with a hymn everybody knows and one that sort of fits in. I was never told that Jesus was to reveal the hymn, and maybe it may be one that nobody had ever sung before. We are back, my friend, on the tandem bicycle ride, aren't we? A worship service can be like a tandem bicycle ride if Jesus is leading. When Jesus leads, church is exciting. But when we lead, church is boring. And so this meeting went on and on for 3 to 4 hours in one session, and with the Lord giving the man of God moment-by-moment instruction what he wanted in a church service. And then we went to another session and to another one. We had 3 sessions a day, and we went for 3 days. My 10-year-old daughter was along, and after just a few hours, she said, Daddy, this is so great. This is so wonderful. Whenever there's another meeting, don't you ever let me stay home. The love of Jesus and His guidance were so beautiful as I've never seen it before. So here, when I went home after this meeting, I said, Jesus, why can't I be led by the Holy Spirit like that? Why do we have to plan things by committees and boards and human wisdom? And I got to see Jesus wanted to lead us moment by moment, because it says in John 10, this is Jesus speaking, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I got to see that we in the church don't follow Jesus, and we can't follow Jesus moment by moment, day after day, because we can't hear His voice. And then the Lord showed me what prevented me from hearing the voice of Jesus. And what prevented me from hearing the voice of Jesus was that I had a murmuring spirit. I had a complaining spirit in my life. I had criticism. I had a judgmental spirit. I had an analytical spirit, a spirit that wants to figure everything out. And until all of that was crucified out of my heart, I would not be able to hear the voice of Jesus, and therefore I would not be able to follow him. So the Lord told me, it's time for me now to meet with you, son, and for you to get into my seminary. So I entered into Jesus' seminary. And he told me he wanted me to meet with him alone about 4 to 5 hours every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I got to my church office at 7 in the morning and met with Jesus from 7 to 8. Then I went home to have breakfast with the family and send the kids off to school. There were four of them. Then I went back to the sanctuary and met with Jesus till noon. And then I went back in the afternoon here and there for another hour. And this went on for about 2 years or more. Now, I had been praying all morning for many years before that, but this was a different kind of praying and waiting on God and communing with God. This was at his calling, at his bidding, and he was doing the teaching. In those years of thousands and thousands of hours, God took many, many things out of me. And my ear, my spiritual ear, began to open up real good. Now, as I shared with you, I heard the voice of Jesus occasionally before, but still I had a lot of spiritual wax in my spiritual ears. So one day, while I was praying in the basement of our home at 8 o'clock on the Monday morning, Jesus spake to me and he said, "Start packing. You're leaving next week Tuesday afternoon." And I was excited and I called my wife and I said, "Honey, the Lord just spake to me." He said, "We're leaving next week." She says, "Praise the Lord. Where are we going?" I said, "The Lord has not told me where, but we're going to start packing immediately." We both were thrilled. Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, had spoken to us as he spake to Abraham of old. So at once I went to the U-Haul truck station to rent a truck, and the man said, "Where is this truck going?" And I says, "I don't know." He said, "Say again?" And I told him I didn't know yet, but next week I trusted I would know where the truck was going. Did you ever rent a truck not knowing where it was going? My friend, yes, we're on the tandem bicycle ride and Jesus is up front. Oh, this is exciting. On the way home, I picked up all kinds of cardboard boxes to put our stuff in. And here my wife and me and our children helping, we packed all Monday and we packed all Tuesday, we packed all Wednesday. We didn't know where we were going. All we knew was that Jesus said, "Start packing, you're leaving next Tuesday afternoon." Our church was in a very nice area of upper income, and our neighbors all wondered what was going on with us since we didn't know where we were going. Well, most people have not been able to figure me out ever since that time. Jesus, my friend, had me on a tandem bicycle on the back seat, and we were going to a place called Somewhere. Oh, my friend, I want you to know, when I left the state of Nebraska, the boredom of Christianity, the monotony of Christianity came to an end, and the Christian life began to be thrills, romance, and adventure. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week.